Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Good morning, church. Let's get this bread. I got it. Did I get it? No. So the kid, this as the kids say, right? Like, no, be rich 2.0. This is a series not about money. You may have come thinking, oh, are they going to pass out lottery tickets? No, we're not. But this is a series about fulfilling this vision that we have to transform the city. And we believe that we can be a part of that by being rich in good deeds. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. We are a church that loves having guests. And we know it's awkward sometimes. Like, my kids say that, like, oh, that's awkward. Like, it's awkward sometimes when you visit a church on a holiday weekend like this. And so kudos to you if you visited today, where we say, oh, do you mind sitting in the middle section instead of letting you sit wherever you want to sit, or all of those things. It's uncomfortable sometimes. And so thank you for being here, and thanks for braving the cold weather, and we're glad you're here. Church of Lake Travis family, can we welcome all our guests today and just say thanks for being here? Yeah. We, as Lee said, we are a relational church, and we want to connect with you. In fact, we say almost every week, like, if you're here and you don't want to know people or you don't want to be known, you're probably at the wrong church. So just give you a heads up. There are lots of great churches where you can run in and run out and never talk to anybody, but this is not one of them. So we're glad you're here, and we love people, and hopefully you feel that warmth from us today. So Be Rich 2.0. Last spring, we did a series called Be Rich, and this series was all about making a difference with our lives, making a difference. And how many of us want to make a difference with our life? Yeah, I think everyone here would say, I want to make a difference with my life. And so we said, you know what, we only did 2 weeks in the spring, and we heard from people like over and over again that they wanted to learn more about this. And so we said, we're going to bring it back in the fall when the Christmas season and the holidays are reminding us all to be rich anyway. And so we're going to focus on this for 4 weeks. We're going to talk about what it means to give more, and what it means to do more, and what it means to love more, and what it means to go more. This is really a series about making a difference with our lives, and it's a series about mobilizing the church to go be the church the way that God always intended for it to be. So what we're doing is we're going to come together over the next 4 weeks, and we're going to ask God, open our eyes to see the needs in our community and help us to be the people that will help meet those needs, that we would see the needs in the community, and we would become a people who would go and actually meet that need. And we've leveraged the language of the Apostle Paul in this series. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to his protege, Timothy, and he said to Timothy, he said, you know, here's the thing, you're going to have some people in your church who you need to address, and here's what I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that they're rich. Now, that can get uncomfortable a little bit, but he said this. He said, command those that are rich in this present age. Now, we talked about this back in the spring. We said, if you live in the United States, you're in the top 5%, three, maybe actually less than that, about top 2-3% of all wage earners in the entire world, okay? So you live in the United States, and you think you have financial pressure, but whenever somebody outside the United States looks at you and they see what you have and how much money you make, they laugh and they think that you're crazy, because how could you have financial pressure making what you make and living the way that you live? But we have our own context, and we might not feel like we're all that wealthy. But did you know that living in Lake Travis Independent School District means that you are in the top 5% of wage earners in the United States? You're rich. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're rich. Yeah. The reality is, we are. I tell my kids this all the time, but even if you aren't rich, you're here at a good time, because this scripture talks about people doing good, and hopefully you can learn to do good even when you aren't necessarily rich, because I think all of us want our life to be meaningful. Here's what it goes on to say: command those that are rich in this present world to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, tell those people that are rich to use their time, use their talent, use their resources to do good. And here's what I love. Most Americans are not very good at this. I read a statistic this week that only 5% of Americans, that's the population of America, only 5% tithe. A tithe we talk about here is 10% of your income. Now, we talk about a tithe here at the Church at Lake Travis as the floor and not the ceiling of our giving. And this series is not about tithing. This is about doing good. But most Americans don't understand this idea of using their wealth to do good. Most of you, on the other hand, have caught this vision of what it means to use your resources to do good. I love that if you're visiting here, that I can say that the Church at Lake Travis is the most amazing, generous group of people in really maybe in this area. One thing that I celebrate over and over again as I talk to other pastors and other leaders in the community is how generous you guys are. One thing that we celebrate is that the average giving per person in the nation is like, I won't say the number, but anyway, per week, whatever. The Church at Lake Travis, you guys, you give 3 times more than the national average, which is pretty incredible. And I think that God is pleased with that. The reality is, just a few weeks back, I heard about a person in need in our church family, and I knew that need was present, and then just last week, I heard that someone in our church had heard about that need, and they felt compelled to get involved, and they gave to help alleviate that need in this family's life. I think that's incredible. I think that encapsulates who you are as a church, but the struggle is real. I know that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy to tell us rich people how we can be better at being rich. And if you're not rich, hopefully you can go ahead and put these things into practice before you get, because you live in the United States, before long you probably will be rich. Now, years ago when we started the church at Lake Travis, we said we want to follow the lead of some other really great churches in the nation, and that is that we wouldn't create all these ministries that we feel like we have to constantly lead and support, and we wouldn't do that internally. In other words, we wouldn't have a homeless ministry, and we wouldn't have a food bank, and we wouldn't have, like, we just said, we're gonna have a simple, streamlined structure, but we will partner with other organizations who are already knocking the ball out of the park. And so we just said, we're gonna do this in a smart way, and we said we're gonna partner with some people that are already doing it. So I wanted to show you some of our local mission partners and some of our national and some of our global, but let me just show you a couple of those. Mobile Loaves and Fishes is what Lee talked about with some of our partnerships. Some of our partnership goes to Mobile Loaves and Fishes. Every Christmas Eve, save the date, Christmas Eve, you know when that is? Just kidding. You know when that is, December 24th. At 10 a.m., we have, or excuse me, at 9 a.m., we have a Christmas Eve worship service and brunch for now over 200 residents at Community First Village. We host that. We feed everyone. We have a Christmas Eve service for them. In fact, that's how we really felt like we needed to start our Christmas Eve tradition, that we wouldn't have a service that only serves us, but that we would serve others. So that's Mobile Loaves and Fishes, and likely talked about, we'll have gifts to be able to buy gifts for them. Partners in Hope is another one that's local. Partners in Hope is an incredible, and you're going to get to hear all about these throughout this series. I'm just giving you the high level today. Partners in Hope, an incredible ministry, doing great work right here in the Lake Travis community. Matt Peacock leads that, and he's a good friend of ours. He was leading a local church here in the area, and he kept coming across these people in the community who were in need, and he felt like, man, we can do something about this, and he felt so compelled that he left his current church or his church that he was at, and he went and started this new thing called Partners in Hope, and it's an awesome thing that we support. Austin Disaster Relief Network. Austin Disaster Relief Network is what it is and what it says it is. It comes in whenever there's disaster, and it helps support people. It's an incredible partnership that we have. Number of you are involved in that. Like, we have some people who are directors that help keep us connected to ADRN and what they're doing. We have shepherds that are involved, that people that will adopt a family. In fact, ADRN has 16 families right now in the Lake Travis area who were affected by the flood a few weeks back in Graveyard Point and in Spicewood. 16 families who said, and a lot more that were affected, but who said, I want to be connected to a local church. And so we have shepherds who will step in and connect us with a local, or connect them with the local church. If you're interested in that, they actually have a training tomorrow at 6:30 p.m., and that's going to be a way that you can find out more information. The ABBA Fund is another one. We're passionate about orphan care, and we said, you know what, we're going to get involved with orphan care, and we started a fund that provides low or no interest loans and or grants, depending on your financial situation. If you feel God compelling you to get involved in caring for the orphan through adoption and you can't afford it, then we can support you in that. And there's right now, I think, about $12,000, and part of our Christmas Impact offering will go to add more money to that, because adoption's expensive if you've ever done that. ARC is a national partner. ARC plants churches. You may not know this, but the Church of Lake Travis really got its start with funding from the organization called the ARC, and it's all about planting churches all over the United States. Every year, because they gave us money and then we paid the money back, that money goes back into a system that plants churches. And you guys plant hundreds of churches every year when you give to the Church of Lake Travis. You may have not known that. The next thing is global. So we're going, you know, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's our global partners. Roatan, Lee mentioned, I say Roatan, he says Roatan, it's tomato, tomato, who cares? But the idea is, we've been going there for about 6 years now. Every single year we go, we get to know the people, we build relationships with them, and we foster ministry. You got to hear David Granada a few weeks back, or about a month ago, and he was visiting from Roatan, telling us about their ministry in really one of the most poverty-stricken places on the island, and it's a beautiful work they're doing. Likely said there'll be sign-ups for that. Our missions partnerships are there. We also support More International. We've talked about that just a few weeks back. We had International Persecuted Church Sunday, and know that your giving goes to support believers who are in countries who fear for their very lives because they're Christ followers. That is a major, major ministry that's important that we support. And then finally, a new partnership that we developed this year is One Hope. One Hope provides Bibles. Actually, it's called the Book of Hope. This is like the Gospel of John formatted in a way that kids can understand, because they realize that if we can capture the kids, we'll eventually capture the families. And so the Book of Hope is distributed to, this is the key, unreached people groups. we feel like the as we talked about a few weeks ago, that the return of Christ is dependent upon us being engaged in reaching unreached people groups. So those are a few of our partnerships. I probably said too much there. But you may be asking, like, why do we do all this? And I think that's one of the most important questions when we talk about being generous, when we talk about giving more, when we talk about doing good or being rich in good deeds. We have to start with the why. The why is super important. When we think about why we do something, a lot of people have expectations on a church. Like, we think that you should do this, and this, you should do this, and you should do this. But why? Why should we have a food bank whenever we can partner with Lake Travis Crisis Ministries, who does an amazing job with their food bank, and they have systems and processes, and they have staff, and they have all of those things that we don't have. So why not partner with them instead? Or whatever that expectation is, why should a community be better off because a church came into the community? Why? Well, I think what's at the heart of this idea of why we give more, do more, love more, and go more is, maybe you've been a Christian a long time, you hadn't really thought about this. I think for me, practically speaking, there are two practical reasons. One is it makes me less selfish. My wife's not here today. Her grandmother, who had been sick for a long time, passed away this past weekend, and they took off, Lindsay, my wife's sister, and her brother Wade, and they drove to Alabama this morning. They're going to be at the funeral tomorrow and then head back. But I'll tell you, if you were to ask my wife, if she were here today, if you were to say, is Jeremy selfish? She would say, absolutely he's selfish. And I'll say, like, doing good, being rich in good deeds helps me not be as selfish. Because it says I'm going to focus on somebody else rather than myself. The second thing that I believe, just practically speaking, why do we do this is because it breaks the back of greed. What is greed? Greed is never feeling like you have enough and wanting more. Want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. Like, the way that I picture it is that it's a closed hand. Like, life, everything about life is it's mine, and I want mine, and I want to get more. And you hold everything tightly. And really, being generous and giving more and thinking about others, like, it opens that hand. It provides an opportunity, because with an open hand, you can receive and give. It's not simply about holding on. Some people say that money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is. And so giving helps to break the back of greed. But there's a bigger answer. There's a bigger why to all of this, and that is that God's extravagant generosity towards us compels us to be extravagantly generous toward others. Think about that for just a moment. God's extravagant love towards us, his extravagant generosity towards us compels us. Like, we can't stay seated. We must be motivated. We must be mobilized. We must go with this incredibly generous God that he's given so much to us to be extremely and extravagantly generous to others. I think about, honestly, this is the whole ethic behind Christianity. Anything that has to do with what Christ followers do in terms of how you treat people, how you treat your husband, how you treat your wife, how you treat the homeless guy on the street, how you treat your employer, how you treat your employees. Everything to do with the Christian ethic is all based on this idea that God has been so good to us, and how can we not be so good to others? All Christian behavior, not only to those that love you, but also, Jesus said, to your enemies. And Jesus gave us this new ethic. that when you think about it, like you've heard it said, do unto others as they would, as you would have them do unto you. But Jesus said this. He said, it's not that anymore. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to love others the way that I loved you. And then he washed their feet and died for them. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. Now, today I want us to look at this verse from James. James is in the New Testament, and James is a in-your-face, like, punch-you-in-the-throat kind of guy. Like, he doesn't pull any punches. And James, if you didn't know this, James was the brother of Jesus. James was the brother of Jesus. And so think about this for just a moment. Like, if you've ever wrestled with, like, is Christianity true? And, like, are these claims of Jesus true? Like, think about this for one moment. What would it take if you had a brother who said they were God to believe them? That'd be a pretty tall order, wouldn't it? But James not only believed in Jesus as God, believed his brother was God, he also wrote a book about following him and what that would look like. And James was the leader of the church in that time and era, which is pretty incredible. And now, if archaeologists were to find a book of the brother of Jesus, don't you think that that would be pretty interesting to know what he would have to say? I think it would be pretty interesting. Well, archaeologists don't have to find it. It's already in our Bible. James is that book. So James, he goes straight for the jugular. In James chapter 1, verse 27, he says this first phrase, and I want us just to pick this verse apart for a few moments. Religion that God our Father accepts. There is this connotation when he said that there's religion that God our Father accepts, that there is some other kind of religion that God our Father does not accept. Like, there's other stuff, there's other religious environments that you can fill in the blank on that he would say, that's not pleasing to God. That's not acceptable to him. He says religion that God our Father deems as acceptable, maybe you grew up in an environment that said it this way, is to bring your Bibles and show up to church every Sunday. Did you ever have one of those environments? Like, I remember when I was going to church from like age, I didn't grow up in church, but from age 7 to age 10, when my mom went into rehab and got sober, we started going to church for about 3 years. And it was during that time that I started going to this little First Baptist church in Vidor, Texas. And on the offering envelopes in those little Baptist churches, they have these little boxes that you checked. And it was like, read my Bible, memorized the memory verse, brought my tithe, it was just these attended Sunday school, check the box, check the box, check the box. And it was what was valued. It was what, I remember like going to Sunday school class, and if you did the memory verse, you got the gold star, like on the little chart, you know, like gold star, good job. You know, like that was the religious environment that they said, if you do these things, then you'll be pleasing to God. Then you'll be accepted by God. Maybe for you, it was something different. Maybe you grew up in a Catholic kind of context, and it was like religion that God our Father deems as acceptable is really all about showing up to Mass every week and taking communion. Like, you can please God by your actions. Like, you just show up and you just do the right thing and you just check the box and then you're pleasing to God. But James doesn't fill it in that way. James says there's something more important. And here's what I would say. If religion, listen closely, if religion is only for you, a list of do's and don'ts, then it will become religious, it will become routine, it will become worn out, and it'll eventually get watered down to the point that you will walk away from it and you will be disinterested in it. If you look at faith from a perspective that says, I'm just doing these things to check a box, then you're eventually going to get weary and burned out. That's a different subject. But I say all the time, like, for people that serve in CLT Kids, like, it's easy to get burned out if you don't love kids and you don't love Jesus and you don't have this burning passion to help other people with the same kind of help that you received. Evangelism is the same way. Like, we can't do evangelism just because it's a box to check. Like, we can't go and tell other people about Jesus simply because we feel like we're supposed to do that. No, we have to experience internal change. We have to experience transformation in our own hearts so that we can share that transformation with others. And because here's the thing. Eventually, if you only do it out of religious duty, you'll quit. You'll walk away. And you have friends and I have friends who've all done that. They're all over the Lake Travis community, right? Yes? Like, we know people who checked the box for years and years and years, and they showed up and they did the right thing, but somewhere along the way, it got watered down. It's like watered down soda, and they just left it. They're like, no more. I don't want that. What does your faith look like? Is it watered down, or is it vibrant and real? James says this. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure, as faultless, think about that word, pure, is to look after orphans and widows. What? Where did that come from? Religion that God our Father accepts is to look after orphans and widows. Here's what James is saying. If your religion stops short with you, then it stops short. James is saying, if you want to be generous, if you want to be rich in good deeds, then you've got to look beyond yourself. And you've got to look for those people who are in your culture, who are in need. At some point, every one of us have to turn a corner and realize that it's not about us. Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. Maybe some of you have read that book. A few million people have. The opening line of the book is, it's not about you. What a freeing statement. And that's what James is trying to get at here. James says, if we begin to think it's about us, then we miss the mark. If we begin to think about religious check boxes, then we're wrong. Religion is more than sermons and songs. Sometimes we think that. Like, we think, if I just go to church, and church was great today, we sang my favorite hymn, it was awesome, the preacher preached so good, like, you know, religion is more than sermons and songs. In fact, James would say, religion is about caring for widows and orphans in their distress. In their distress. What does it mean in that context, in that culture, for people to be in distress, specifically for women and children to be in distress? What happened in that culture for there to become orphans and to become widows? What had to happen? Men had to die. And when men died, it left women in distress, it left them as widows, and it left children in distress, it left them as orphans. And so James says, look around and find the people that are in distress. And I would say in our culture, in our context, distressed women and children can fall into the category of the selfishness and irresponsibility of men. That is, men who are disengaged. Extracting men from any context or any culture leads to stress on that. Just survey the prison system in the United States. A staggering number of those people who are incarcerated had no father. You extract men from culture, And I'm not talking about men, like the presence of men. There's a lot of men presently here today. But I'm talking about men who are engaged, who are not checked out on their phone or checked out at work or checked out. Like, we're talking about men that are fully present. Now, that's a different sermon because I've already talked about that. That's a different sermon. But we'll talk about that again sometime. But most human distress comes at the hands of other humans. Like, if you think about it, if you just remove all the distress in the world associated with abuse, abandonment, drug abuse, prescription drug use, like all of those things, illegal drugs, most of it would go away if there weren't other people. But we can't remove other people, so we have to be engaged in the distress. Care for orphans and widows in their distress. And then it goes on and it says, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. If you really want to have pure religion, you have to not only say that you want to be a part of the solution, like I'm going to care for those who are in distress, but I'm also going to avoid being part of the problem. I'm not going to engage and be a part of the problem. There's this two-edged sword, James would say, when it comes to acceptable religion before God. And that two-edged sword is you have to be a part of the solution and you have to decide you will not be a part of the problem. That's important. This is the God kind of honoring, God-honoring religion. God-honoring religion, two things, alleviates stress, distress, and avoids the behaviors that create it. You have a twofold thing here. James says you've got to alleviate stress, but you've got to avoid the things that cause it, to keep yourself from being polluted in the world. And here's what else I would say is God-honoring religion, it requires selflessness and self-control. I think about this, and, you know, when we decided that we were going to adopt Ella, we had to make a family decision, and the family decision we made was that we were going to move from Falcon Head over here in right here by the high school. We're going to move from that neighborhood, which was zoned for Lakeway Elementary School, and we were going to move to over closer to Lake Travis Elementary School because we knew that that was a more diverse school, okay? So this isn't necessarily for us. We said we need to do this for her. So this is a selfless thing in some ways. Like we're saying we're gonna be like, if I had my way, guys, I am so tight, like financially, like we would have stayed in that little house that we lived in Falcon Head with all seven of us. Like it would have been packed out, like three bedrooms, seven people, no problem. Let's do it. Like I would have done that. And yet God nudged us and said, this isn't about you. This is about providing the best possible experience for this little girl that you can. And so we said, you know what, okay, so we're going to move. So it not only was selfless, but it caused us to have self-control. When I say that, I mean it was more expensive to move somewhere else. We did that because of her. That was motivated by selflessness, but it led to us having to cut things. And we dialed back and we said, we can't do those things anymore. We have to have self-control. And you have a story like that too. You have a story where you felt compelled to do something. It caused you to be selfless. You had to have self-control to kind of counteract that whole thing and to be able to meet that need and provide for that. I'm excited to think about the stories that will come out of this series because I believe every one of us are being challenged right now to be selfless, to be self-controlled. In terms of our responsibility, it requires us that we keep ourselves from something and we make ourselves available to somebody. We keep ourselves from something. What is God calling you to keep yourself from? That keep yourself from being polluted by the world, as James said, and make yourself available to somebody, that person who's in distress. What does that look like for you? Just this week, we were talking as a staff, and we said, you know what? This is important. This is important that we are engaged in this, that we are being rich in good deeds. And you all know, you've seen it all over the news, the wildfires in California, and Lynn Schutt's parents, Lynn's a part of our church, Lynn Schutt's parents, their home was destroyed, like just completely destroyed. And we reached out to them and we said, how can we help? And they said, well, they've already got housing taken care of. They're in a trailer now, and they're taken care of there. But they need stuff like clothes and all that. So Target gift cards would be helpful. And so the church at Lake Travis, you guys are going to bless them with some Target gift cards, just because we're doing this as a church family. Like, we're all in. We're all about helping someone when they're in need. And then I would say this. We have these little cards that I think Lee and maybe Steve will pass out to you. These are little cards that they're excuses for you to look outside yourself. They're excuses for you to deny yourself a certain comfort level and to look out for someone who may need something. And this little card just says something extra to show you that God loves you. And on the back it says, and so do we. And it has the Church at Lake Travis little website. And you know, here's what, and by the way, on the back of your bulletin, there are some ideas on how you can use this card. You may buy someone's coffee in line behind you at Starbucks. Here's what I would say, because Lee said that this happens all the time at Chick-fil-A, where people will start like the train of like, you know, like they buy something for somebody, and then they buy something for somebody, and then they buy some, like it just keeps going and going and going, like this pay it forward kind of idea, like we're going to do that. Here's what I would say is those are sweet things. Those are, they don't have substance though. And what I mean by that is, if you'll be bold and you'll be brave and you'll take that card and you pay for that milkshake of the person behind you, or you pay for that meal of the people behind you, and you give that card to the cashier, you touch two lives in that moment. You touch the heart of the cashier that, what is this? The little something that God loves you. Wow, they're not doing this just because they're a good person. They're doing it out of a heart because they want other people to know God loves. And then they're going to give that to the person behind you, and that person's life's going to be touched. Now, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard, because we've done this over the years. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people who that was so God-ordained that they needed to hear that in that moment, and they were a person in distress, and they just break down and weep because you don't know what kind of day I was having. I was on my way to end my life, and I was getting my last meal, but I got this card, and it was a reminder to me that God loves me, that He hadn't left me. I was financially destitute. I was about to lose my house, but this just lifted my spirits today. A friend of mine in Cincinnati was telling me a couple of stories about he and his family, and they would go and do this together. And he said he had himself and two kids, and they went into this poor neighborhood, and they had two bags of food with them. And as he's walking into this neighborhood, this huge guy that's jacked with no shirt on starts running straight at him, like, and he's got his two little kids with him, and he's scared, like, what in the world? And the guy runs up to him, and he said, I need your help so much. Would you pray for me? It was God ordained that he was there in that moment ready to serve him and give him a bag of groceries and help him in that moment. And I think, man, we're at the holiday season, and what good timing for this. Like, it's so good for this to be at top of mind for us, that we simply say, we're going to be rich in good deeds. We're going to give more. We're going to do more. We all have extra. And so we can give more. We can do more. We can love more. We can go more. And I think how cool will it be just to hear the stories of people that were in distress being helped during this season. Our elementary kids, their whole lesson today was about how the friends in the scripture, the friends got their paralyzed friend and they picked him up and they brought him to Jesus and they dug a hole in the roof and they let him down into the room where Jesus was, where Jesus could speak a word of healing over them. And so Pastor Charlie's going to give all our elementary kids one of these God loves you cards, and they're going to be commissioned to use that to do something good for somebody. So maybe it might be a brother or a sister, or it might be a mom or a dad. Hey, receive that, and let them participate as well. Maybe you can help them think about, like, maybe it's something we do as a family. I heard about one group. Yeah, well, I'm wrapping up, by the way. So sorry, I'll quit talking. I could tell lots of stories about this because it's awesome. There was one family who said, we're going to go into these dark places, and we're going to ask if we can clean the restrooms for this place. And when they ask why, we're just going to give them this card and just say, just because it's a simple way to let you know God loves you, and so do we. Isn't that awesome? Hey, we have received this extravagant generosity. We have received, and that compels us to be extravagantly generous with everybody that we come in contact with. At the end of your days, at the end of your life, do you want to be known as a giver or a taker? And here's what I would say is that this quote hit me between the eyes this week. I thought it was so important, and it'll come up here on the screen. Small deeds done are better than great deeds planned. You can have all kinds of intentions. You can have all kinds of plans, like, oh yeah, we're going to do that someday. Let's talk about today, because today matters. Small deeds done are greater than great deeds planned. So think of something small you can do this week, and that could be the difference that needs to be made in someone's life.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.